Welcome to the Purity Podcast, the show designed to reach men fighting for sexual purity. We will share our experience, strength, and hope to help men overcome sexual addiction or compulsive sexual behaviors. So, whether you're new to the journey or a seasoned veteran, welcome. Welcome to the Purity Podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to the Purity Podcast. My name's Chris, and I am honored to take the baton from Doug as your new host. I'd be remiss if I didn't take a minute to say thank you to Doug once again for all the work and effort he put into doing these podcasts the last 7 years. Wow. Can you just say wow? 7 years. I've already recorded a few episodes. Let me tell you, it's fun, but it's not easy. There's a little bit of work that goes into this. So Doug, thank you so much. You've impacted men across the nation, maybe the world, with the Purity Podcast that you started by allowing us to be a part of your recovery journey. And it's been an honor and a privilege, so thank you. You know, it's funny, when I volunteered to take over for Doug, I think I had a bit of a Peter moment. You know, Peter from the Bible was often known for speaking before thinking. The truth is, I'm pretty comfortable in front of groups, telling stories and trying to make people laugh at the same time teaching something. But it's one thing to do that in front of a group where I can see what is connecting or resonating, but completely different when I'm sitting by myself talking into a microphone, which I may or may not be actually looking into a camera right now, so at least I feel like I'm talking to someone. Anyway, I'm not going to lie. This is a little awkward. So how do you start a podcast? Or in my case, continue an already successful podcast? I asked several people that very question, and most of them told me just to grab a mic and start talking. Wish it was that easy. In some cases, you'll find that I'll do just that. In others, I'll have it more scripted simply so I don't go down too many rabbit holes. Also, we'll still include regular interviews and chats with George, because what's the Purity Podcast without George? Well, it's probably pure. Just kidding. We will definitely have George on, and we'll be doing other interviews. If there's people that you want to have interviewed, please reach out to us at puritypodcast@castamonia.org. All right. So a few disclaimers and thoughts. One, I am not a licensed therapist. I'm just a regular guy. So these podcasts are my stories and my opinions. I'll share mostly about my journey and what I've learned along the way. If some of it resonates, great, but please don't take what I have to say as advice, only experience. I may offer advice along the way, but remember, this is your journey, so take what you like and leave the rest. Next, the views, thoughts, and opinions I have are my own. I do believe they will align with Scripture and the standards of Castamonia, but they are still my views, thoughts, and opinions. I'll probably have more, but let's just leave it at that for now. If you ever have a question about something I share, more information you want, where I get my content, please reach out to us at puritypodcast@castamonia.org. All right, so let's get started. In what I'm calling Season 8, Episode 1, I want to start by welcoming you. I want to welcome you into my recovery story and welcome you into your journey of recovery, regardless of where you are in that journey. In some of the early episodes, I'd like to give you a sneak peek into my life and my road to and through recovery. If you listen to Doug's episodes 98A and B, then you have kind of a, you know my story from a high level, let me put it that way. But the bottom line is, I want to welcome you. I want to welcome you to this podcast, and I want this podcast to feel like, as Donald Miller says about his writing style, he says, I want it to be like two friends having a conversation. Okay, now it may be potentially an awkward conversation depending where you are on the journey, but a conversation nonetheless. I can remember early on meeting guys that are in recovery for lunch or coffee, and they would talk openly about their addiction, and I was like, yeah, me too, bro, but let's keep it down. There's people around us. They're going to think we're freaks. So where are you on this journey? Are you brand new? Can I still have that deer in the headlights look, like you've binge listened to every episode of the Purity Podcast looking for answers? Or are you stuck, meaning you recognize, or at least someone has recognized for you, that you do have compulsive sexual behaviors, but are struggling to maintain your sobriety? Maybe you're part of the old guard and you're here to stay sharp and to maintain sexual purity. Maybe you're just exploring this whole thing called purity. What does it even mean? You might be the guy who doesn't even really believe in sexual addiction, that every guy does this stuff and, you know, it's just the way I'm built. But for some reason, you decided to listen and to see what this stuff is all about. Maybe none of these are you, but you know where you are and you picked this podcast for a reason. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter where you are in this journey. I'm just glad you're here. And you are welcome. You're welcome here. There's no judgment here. And but by the way, as a side note, you'll hear me refer to this as a journey a lot. I know it's repetitive, but I looked up in the thesaurus and words like trip and trek and expedition and cruise and safari and ride and drive and wandering, roaming, blah, blah, blah. It just didn't seem to fit. So a journey to me, it implies that it's a long, difficult process of personal change or development. It's not just this act of traveling from one place to another. Another thing you'll hear me say a lot also, or at least talk about, is about having a goal. If you don't have a goal, how do you know if you've attained it? For instance, if you get in your car to drive, you are going somewhere, right? Where? I don't know. Pick a place. The grocery store, the doctor, the counseling session. Just not the massage parlor, okay? But what I mean is, you don't usually just get in your car just to drive. Unless you're me on Christmas Eve of 2018, where I literally drove up and down I-10, exiting every 2 miles from my house, doing a circle, hoping for a text, say I could come home. But I digress. Anyway, you're getting in the car to drive somewhere. You have a destination in mind. You know, until my discovery or disclosure date, I really didn't even know or understand anything about sexual addiction. I didn't even know the term or phrase compulsive sexual behavior. One thing I did know was that I was out of control. I had struggled with porn on and off for years beginning in high school. I would have months, sometimes even years, where my secret sin wasn't controlling me, but it was always there. And like many, I thought that marriage would cure me, but it didn't. I was married in 1995 and still struggled throughout my marriage. And in June of 2007, everything changed. You may or may not know the significance of that date or why I would remember. Well, okay, I didn't actually remember the date until I asked the Google machine. But that's when the first iPhone came out. And all of a sudden, I didn't have to wait for my dial-up internet or slow connection or look through the blurry lines on the television. I had instant access in the palm of my hand. I went from viewing porn in a more opportunistic way to looking for opportunities, even creating opportunities. And what happened next is what Patrick Carnes describes as being caught in a wild and dangerous whitewater stream. There were moments on the river that were calm and life was normal, but inevitably I would find myself moving from a class one ride to a terrifying class six, out of control, violent, very long. And there are some who find themselves in that type of spiral, and they do make their way to dry land, and they look at the raging water and decide that they want no part of it. Not me. I hated the ride, but I kept finding myself back in the raft, looking for rougher waters. Don't get me wrong, I didn't go from a class one rapid to a class six overnight. I didn't get there until each one became more exhilarating. I got to a point where it was so bad that I just felt broken. Not broken like sorry or regretful, although I did have those moments. No, I mean broken like irreparable, that I couldn't be fixed. Nothing seemed to get me to dry land. I'd confess, kind of. I'd pray, sort of. I'd try harder, not really. I'd make promises and more promises, which I always broke. I'd try to make deals with God, yet I swore I would. Yet I swore the things I would never do became the things I would seek out. I was absolutely out of control. And it showed itself in in all other areas of my life as well. My temper was worse. I was a terrible husband and father. I was lying about big things and small things. And by 2017, I was in the darkest time of my life. And maybe the most painful thing about where I was is that I was all alone. Who could I tell? Where could I go? Can you relate? Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you're single. Maybe you're single and you don't feel like you're hurting anyone, which is a whole nother episode. Maybe you're married and neck deep into your addiction, or a pastor who's sexually compulsive behavior but has to remain hidden. Maybe you're dealing with the same sex attraction and finding yourself spiraling. Maybe you've been discovered and your rock bottom feels like the end. Let me tell you, there is hope. I attended a funeral of a family friend recently. He had died as a result of this cruel disease called ALS. I was sitting in the pew. I watched a video of photographs that were telling about his life, his love, his passions, his friends. And as I watched, I learned about him. He was a friend of on my wife's side, so I didn't really know him that well, but I did know him. But this video told me more about him. So these photos told me a story. Then his brother-in-law got up and spoke, and he told more about his life, how he lived, what he was and who he loved, and the things that he was passionate about, things that he loved doing. You know, funerals are obviously sobering and remind me of my mortality and the short time I have on this earth. This funeral, like others, got me to thinking and asking myself a question that I'll ask you. When the music stops and life is over, the only thing left is my story. The question is, what kind of story do I want to tell? What kind of story do you want to tell? Look, if you're listening to this podcast, then you have likely come to or been in a very dark place, potentially for years. Years of sexual impurity, addiction, or compulsive sexual behaviors, behaviors you've tried to stop but couldn't. I want you to know that your story is not over. You're not broken. You're not irreparable. I did a book study starting a few months into my recovery with a group of other quote-unquote broken people. We didn't know each other was broken until we really got to know one another. The book was called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Scazzaro. In this book, he references this spiritual concept described as the 16th century Spanish mystic and a poet named St. John of the Cross. And he wrote this thing called The Dark Night of the Soul. And the Cliff's Note version of The Dark Night of the Soul is, it's a time of spiritual dryness and purification. It's often experienced by Christ followers who are in pursuit of God. And this dark night is characterized by a sense of loss and dryness and emptiness. You may feel abandoned by God and experience a deep sense of darkness and despair. You may also have this experience of physical and emotional suffering. However, he goes on to say that the dark night is not a punishment from God. Scazzaro says it's a necessary part of the spiritual journey. Through the dark night, a person is gradually stripped away of material and selfish things. The idea is that this allows them to become more open to the experience of God's love. Scazzaro equates the dark night to confronting a wall. He contends that a wall is a natural stage of life that everyone experiences. It's like seasons. We don't control them, they just happen. So do walls, he would say. A wall would be something like divorce, death of a loved one, job loss, cancer, a betrayal. In response to the wall, Scazzaro says, and I quote, "We question ourselves, God, the church. We discover for the first time that our faith does not appear to, quote unquote, work. We have more questions than answers as the very foundation of our faith feels like it is on the line. We don't know where God is, what he is doing, where he is going, how he is getting us there, or when it will be over." For me, the wall I hit was not so much something that happened to me as much as it was built by me. My sexual addiction was built by me, brick by brick by brick by brick. Early, there were opportunities for me to break down the wall because the mortar was still wet, and then there were times where I could have leapt over the wall because it was so small, but I just kept building, brick by brick by brick, and soon the wall was too high to scale, too wide to traverse, and way too thick to break through on my own. That dark night of the soul, it's this challenging experience, but it can also be a time of great growth and transformation. And those who emerge from the dark night are stronger and more compassionate and more deeply connected to God. If you're experiencing the dark night of the soul, it's important that you remember that you're not alone. Many people have gone through this experience, and there is hope for you. What kind of story do you want to tell? I don't want to tell a story of shortcuts and would've, could've, should'ves. I want to tell a story of God's redeeming love, of God's redemption, of God's goodness. I was looking back at my journal entries early on, and one of my first journal entries was, I wrote this down, it's from Craig Groeschel's YouVersion Devo called Fight, and it's, he says, "If you're a Christian, you have resurrection power in you. Tap into that. Don't just be a stronger man. Satan loves to make stronger men weak. God loves making weak men strong. Don't just try to be a better man. Be God's man. Stop trying to tell your story and start telling his. It's not about you. It's about him. Push down those pillars. Die to yourself so you can live for him." One of my favorite teaching pastors is a guy named Andy Stanley, and he writes, "Someday you would like to be able to sit down or lie down with your kids or grandkids and tell them your story, your entire story. And as they get older, you would like to be able to add layers and details rather than hoping they don't ask." You know why we love stories or movies or books? It's because they have this common theme. They start with this compelling conflict, right? Something that there's this central problem or obstacle, something that there's tension involved, something they need to get through. And then there's this rising action, these events that escalate to this conflict and build more tension. And they keep the reader or the movie watcher engaged and wondering what's going to happen next. And then there's this climax of this point of tension where the protagonist confronts the core of the conflict in a very decisive way. And then there's this resolution place where the outcome of the conflict is resolved and the reader or movie watcher leaves satisfied. What I would like to recommend to you is that maybe you're in this place today of this rising action, that you know something needs to take place. You know you need to do something. When I talk to guys who are ready to make that change, to change their story, to tell a new story, one of the first things I tell them to do is look at the three circles. In Sex Addicts Anonymous, they talk about three concentric circles, and the inner circle, a middle circle, and then that outer circle. If you look at the Castamonia book on page 61 and following pages, you'll see more in-depth study on this. But what I'd like to say is that the inner circle, just telling these guys, like, the first thing you need to know is, what breaks sobriety? What is the thing that I want to stop doing that I've continued to do, that I've continued to spiral out of control with? That's your inner circle. For me, it was like lying to my wife. It's sex outside of marriage. It's masturbation. It's any kind of intentional viewing of porn. Those types of things. What is that inner circle for you? And then that middle circle, the next one out, that middle circle are things that lead you into that inner circle. Sometimes it's as easy as like the term halt BS, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, bored, or stressed. But other things are you surfing on the internet too much, or you're on social media. You're doing things that are in your no-fly zone, right? The things that are excessive internet use, socializing with others that you don't need to be with, isolation, those types of things. What we need to be focused on is that outer circle. That outer circle are the things that bring us joy, the things that fill our tank. So maybe it's things like going for a run or listening to music that's edifying, listening to or reading a book, working out. What are the things that fill your tank, and what are the things that will steer you away from that inner circle? Look, you've probably heard the great Chinese proverb that says the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. I would say the same is true for yours and my recovery. The best time to have started recovery for me was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. You still have time to change your story. You still have time to tell a story that you're proud of. And I want to challenge you to do just that. Thanks for joining me on the Purity Podcast today. I'm really excited to be your host. I'm super excited about some of the interviews that we've got coming up, and also excited to have George back in the next few weeks. So since I don't have a tagline of my own yet, I'll use Doug's. Remember, as you travel down this road of recovery, you are not walking alone.